They are. I know Kevin often has time, some problems pointing this thing, but I'm going to test it out and see it. Oh, it's up already. Good. Good. It was good, Michelle, to hear you share your testimony. Thank you. And it was good to hear Vinay talking about relationships, because in a sense, that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. But I want to confess something today to all of you. Years ago, when I was growing up as just a young child, my sister and I, we used to argue all the time. Anybody relate to that? Yes. I used to treat my sister in a real bad way. In fact, to tell you a story, one day, she used to bring her friend home from school, and at the age of about 13, my hormones had started to work, and I'm chasing my sister's friend. And my sister got jealous. And so Mum was at work, and she didn't come home till 3 o'clock, and we were already home from school. And because I got so wild with my sister for getting in the way, if you know what I mean, guys, I threw a cold pot of tea over her from the start. Now, I thought that was the end of it, because she cleaned herself up and we went our separate ways. And then when Mum and Dad came home, all the tea leaves were on the floor. I had to confess then. I didn't want to, but I did. But the point is, my sister and I were always arguing. And every time now, all these years later, we meet and she brings it up again. Fortunately, not these days in the same way, because she's come to the Lord and I've come to the Lord, and our relationship has changed because of Jesus. But it's remembered now with fondness rather than anything else. And even though we still have disagreements about many things, we're united, we're one, and we're strong in Christ. And that's something that I really appreciate and treasure. And we are family. I mean, if you've got relatives here, it's not just blood relatives, but we are family in Christ. Amen? But you know what? Families don't always see eye to eye. Have you noticed that? We don't always see eye to eye. Christians don't always agree with each other. And this causes differences. It causes conflict. It causes strife. And often causes deep wounds within people's lives and in our relationships. And I'm so glad, Vinay, that Roger and Helen are going to be talking about and going over relationships. But the reality is that some people get wounded because of broken relationships. It shouldn't happen, but it does. The potential for such deep conflict was there when Abram and Lot, both members of the same family, were confronted with a serious problem regarding the grazing of their herds. You know the story. We're going to read it in just a few moments. The cattle and their sheep. And there's all of a sudden, there's a problem. And if you have your Bible with you, I haven't put it up on the overhead, but I want you to listen carefully. But if you have your Bible, follow, because I'm going to read Genesis chapter 13. There's only 18 verses, so it won't take long. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the Negev as far as Bethel, to a place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzites were dwelling there in the land also. Then Abram said to Lot, "Please, let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan that was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities and the valleys and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly and sinners against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northwards and southwards and eastwards and westwards. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Wow, you know that story, you've read it before. If we go back to chapter 12, for instance, in verse 5, we can see very quickly that Lot is Abram's nephew, in verse 5. And so he was more, far more than a distant relative. This relationship was very close. This relationship was not only between uncle and nephew, but it was close. And this is seen in the way that both of the men travel together through God's leading. And so today we're going to look at close family relationships. Now, I guess that some of us, and not me thankfully now, but some of us have family members that we'd rather forget about. I know there are some here that are like that. But the fact is that we can't. Whether they are blood relatives or related through the cross, we cannot just ignore family members. We cannot forget about them. Speaking of family we would rather forget reminds me of some children of a prominent family who wanted to get this family tree put together in a book to present to their father for a birthday present. And so they commissioned a professional biographer to do the work, carefully warning this man that the family had a black sheep problem. You see, Uncle George had been executed in the electric chair for murder. The biographer assured the children, he said, "I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle the situation without embarrassment. I'll merely say this. Uncle George occupied a chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. He was attached to the position by the strongest of ties. And his death came as a real shock." Abraham, I'll call him Abraham because that's easier to say. He changed his name later, didn't he? And Lot couldn't hide the fact that they were family, and neither can you and I. And I mean that. If you are in Christ today, we cannot hide the fact that we are family. Amen? And so when conflict was about to raise its ugly head between these two men, as it does in our family from time to time, what can we learn from this story that will help us to resolve the conflict, to stop it from devastating us and being disruptive in any events that happen in our church? The first thing that we can... and I've got to get this right now. Oh, it worked. Great stuff. The first thing that we can learn from Abraham and Lot in conflict is seen in verse 7. It says, "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land." Let me ask you all a question if I can. And it's this: is there a personal difference between Abraham and Lot? Are they does it talk about a personal disagreement? No, it was all between the herdsmen. It was all between uncle and nephew were not arguing. It was the herdsmen that were arguing. The cause of any conflict that did eventuate came from, if you like, external sources. How often does that happen in the church? The people in your extended family, maybe, but it's external to what we have as solid family right here. First, we see the herdsmen arguing amongst themselves. What can be learnt from this? Well, in those times, families moved and travelled together in clans. A clan is part of a tribe, and the tribe was that of Shem, from which we get the word Semites, or later on translated as Jews. Both Abraham and Lot are descendants from that tribe. When Abraham's brother and the father of Lot died, they developed separate clans. And those related to Abraham was one, and related to Haran, namely Lot, another. And so we can see that these herdsmen, even though they were separate to the relationship between Lot and Abraham, were all external to that close relationship. They knew each other and they knew their clan leaders, but their relationship to each other was not as close. But the strife came from those who were external. It came from people in the same tribe. The same tribe. We've got four congregations here, but we're all one tribe. And over the years, God has blessed us with very little conflict. You know that? Very little conflict. And when conflict has come, and it will, especially if we're going into a building program, property program, conflict of various types is going to come. But if there's a close relationship in the family, it can be resolved. And so if we're honest, folks, some relationship problems may be caused inside the family of God, and even in other denominations, other clans. Who knows? The important thing is to recognize them. These herdsmen were part of this family and related in some way to Lot and Abraham. But you know, in the text here, there are other external forces at work. The Canaanites and the Perizzites. Were they related to Abraham and Lot? I don't think so. course not. No. These people were in the land that was eventually going to be overthrown by, and they were going to be displaced by the Jews under God's great plan for the descendants of Abraham. And so the Canaanite and the Perizzite people were also herdsmen looking after livestock. But of course, because, and we read in the text that Abraham and Lot's fortune grew so big, they had so many animals and their property became so much, there was not enough feed for all of the cattle, which included the Perizzites and the Canaanites. And you can imagine what these people were thinking about these foreigners coming to overtake or coming to graze their cattle in their land, or so they thought it was. Can you imagine? And I know that many of us who are immigrants to this country often get the same. You know, what are they doing here, taking all my jobs and all sort of thing? So you can imagine the conflict there. These Shemites, according to the Canaanites and Perizzites, were foreigners in our land and increasing their herds rapidly. And you know, it's a common cry from outside of the body of Christ. People may not say those words, but sometimes we get, as Christians, we have an attitude focused on us that is very discouraging from those outside of the church. And likewise, when our relationships with each other are close and flourishing, it doesn't matter what the Perizzites and the Canaanites from outside do or say, because we are strong in Christ. We are family. Amen. I wonder this morning, how often do you personally allow external circumstances to affect your relationship with a family member or with a brother and sister in Christ? Secondly, better make sure I'm on track here. Yes, it works. The second thing we can learn from this conflict between Abraham and Lot: when there is conflict in our relationship with someone close, someone we love dearly, it must be resolved in an honourable and peaceful way. Now, I don't know whether you this is often easier said than done, right? It's often easier said than done, even in Christian circles. How many times have you been in a situation where you feel the best thing to do is to ignore the problem and hope like crazy it resolves itself? You've had an argument with someone or a disagreement with someone and you think, oh, I'm just going to ignore that and maybe it'll fix itself. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. With broken or strained relationship, this seldom happens. And so, what action was taken in the relationship between Abraham and Lot to resolve the strife in an honourable and peaceful way? Three things happened that are noteworthy. First, in verse 8, we see Abraham taking the initiative. He said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me." His number one ambition was to keep the relationship running smoothly, and so he took the first step. I cannot emphasize that enough, folks. If you are having problems with a family member or a close friend, husband and wife, and you want to start resolving the problem, take the first step. Take the initiative. He approached Lot. "Let's not argue," he said, "like our herdsmen. They don't know us as well as we know each other. Paul tells the church in Rome in his letter to them in chapter 12, verse 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it depends on you. Don't wait for the other party to make the first move. Be like Abraham. Take the initiative. Of course, taking the initiative depends on your desire to make peace. Sometimes you have an argument and you don't want to make up, right? Husbands, wives, you don't want to. So, taking the first step demands that we desire in our heart for that peace to be in the relationship. Many years ago, Ramsay MacDonald was Prime Minister of England, and he was discussing with another government official the possibility of a lasting peace. The official was an expert on foreign affairs, and unimpressed by the Prime Minister's idealistic view. And so he remarked cynically, "The desire for peace does not necessarily ensure it." This MacDonald admitted, saying, "Quite true, brother, but neither does the desire for food satisfy your hunger, but at least it gets you started towards a restaurant." As Christians, our desire must be for our relationship to be good and strong and at peace with each other. And as Abraham did, we must take the peacemaking initiative when strife comes along. Is there any conflict in a relationship that you're in? God wants you, wants me, to take the first step in resolving it honourably and peacefully. Another noteworthy way to resolve conflict in a peaceful and honourable way is to reinforce family ties. In verse 8, Abraham says, "Let there be no strife between us, for we are brothers. Let the Canaanites and the Perizzites argue and fight between themselves, and from time to time our clans will disagree and cause strife. But we, Abraham and Lot, you and me, the person next to you, just take a look at the person. We are brothers and sisters in Christ." We are brothers and sisters, and our code of conduct in all relationships is what? Is love. But in Christ, the one who loved us and died on a cross for us, we've been singing about that, we've heard it in testimony, we are brothers and sisters because God's conduct of love is there with us. We belong to the King of Kings. We are one family. Can't emphasize, if we don't understand anything else this morning, that's it. You know, there comes a time when all of those external influences causing conflict must be put aside, and the concentration and reinforcement of the bonds that unite us are to be highlighted. So resolving conflict in a peaceful and honourable way, thirdly, requires the sort of action that Abraham took in verse 9. This is without doubt the best action anyone can instigate when sorting out relationship problems. Let me read what Abraham did. He said to Lot, "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. Or if to the right, then I will go to the left." What action did Abraham take? He yielded for the sake of peace. He yielded. We don't hear that word much these days. Look here, look, here's the land in front of you. As you can see, the best, the most fertile looking is to the east in the valley of Jordan. Since I'm the oldest, he could have said, since I'm the oldest and command more honor and respect, and I'm the head of the tribe, I'm much higher up the pecking order than you are, Lot. He could have said, I'll have the first choice. I'll take the good stuff. And I'm sure Roger and Helen will mention this in their relationship class, because I've been with them a long time. But you can see what's at stake here. It's pride. Yes? Abraham is putting his pride aside and yielding to Lot for the sake of their relationship. How many of us faced with conflict in our relationship, especially husbands and wives, and I keep saying this, dig our heels in? You have a conflict with someone and you dig your heels in. For those of you who don't understand that Australian saying, it's you've got so much pride that you hold on to what you believe regardless. And you hang on to it, and you won't change. You dig your heels in. You know, it takes a real humble man to yield like Abraham did. And the Bible says this about the humble man. If you humble yourself like a child, you will be great in the kingdom of God. You see, all you will achieve when you dig your heels in is resentment. Actually, as a tangent to this morning I read in the English newspaper, the Daily Mail, I read that online from time to time, this article of a woman in England whose husband last Christmas was murdered on his way to church, where he was going to play the organ and, you know, just the normal church-going people, Christian family. And the trial had come up for these two men that were charged with the murder. And 4 days before the trial, this woman, who had forgiven these murderers, was assaulted in the street herself. And she'd forgiven them also. And the amount of, if you like, hate mail that was directed at her for being a forgiving person. You see, she humbled herself, got rid of her pride, knowing that these people, if they get convicted, they'll receive their sentence, and quite rightly so. But she forgave. Just like when you yield to someone in a relationship, you're free from any resentment that's carrying on. And in her case, she's free to live a life that's totally void of any resentment or hatred to these men. Well, if you humble yourself like a child, you will be great in the kingdom of God. You know, some of us raise our hands when we worship. I don't know what other people do when they raise their hands in worship, but once upon a time, raising your hands like that towards the heaven was a sign of yielding. It was a sign of, God is great and I'm so unworthy. God is the greatest and I'm just me. I'm yielding to you, God. I don't know what you, anyone that raises their hands when we're worshipping, thinks when they do it, but that's much on my mind when I'm raising my hands in worship. I'm lifting God up. Humbling before Almighty God, the symbolic lifting up of God and the reduction of or lowering of self. It's the place of self that will determine resolutions in conflict. If you want to take first place, the conflict will continue. However, if you're like Abraham and you yield, or lower self, the strife will be eliminated. Now we've seen the causes of conflict between Abraham and Lot, that of outside external influences. We've seen how the conflict was resolved through taking the initiative, reinforcing family bonds and yielding, all in order to resolve in an honourable and peaceful way, the Christian way. When we follow these guidelines, we'll naturally have some questions. And I've asked this question myself years ago. How do we know from this story of Abraham and Lot, how do we know from their life that the conflict was dealt with? What's the end result, in other words? Well, if you read on into later chapters and parts of the story, we can see that there's a satisfactory dealing with the conflict. And there are a couple of episodes, and you all know them, because Abraham wants to go and rescue his nephew, and he commits 318 of his best men, not to mention his own life, to try and go and rescue Lot. He puts all those lives at risk. Not only that, he pleads with God later on to spare Lot and his family when Lot is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the story. He pleads and he starts, God, will you still destroy it if there are 50 faithful men? And God says, and he brings it down and he keeps pleading with God until he gets down to 10 men. And God said, I will still save them. Do you think those two events, committing all of those lives' resources to a fight to rescue Lot, praying and pleading with God to save them, do you think that would be the result of conflict continued? Of course not. It's evidence that the conflict was dealt with. It's evidence that they are like this. And so conflict between Abraham and Lot is dealt with all those years beforehand, and the relationship remains strong, very strong. And let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you to deal with things in your relationship today, relationships. Why? Because not until this takes place will the Lord begin to bless you as he did Abraham. Following the resolution of all of their conflicts in chapter 13, where God blessed Abraham, verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him, after their differences had been resolved, in other words, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see I will give you and your offspring forever. The Lord went on to renew the covenant. I'll finish with these words, because when conflict between you and someone else is resolved, all that God has for you is yours. All that God has for you is yours. Let's pray together.